Triple M's Rush Hour with Jars and Louie is brought to you by Dan Murphy's. That's their lowest liquor price guarantee.
Great to have you company, Adelaide. The weekend is nigh. Bathurst is on our horizons. Hey, Mark Scaife on the show. Cannot wait to talk to Mr. Motorsport. Six-time king of the mountain, five-time drivers' championship winner. He's going to join us at the end of this hour, Scaifey. A lot of fun. Everything happening up there at the moment. The Mustangs are flying, Jars. And, of course, the bloodletting at the Adelaide Crows. External review just done.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Oh, dear.
Two gone. Yep. And they are the head of football, Brett Burton, if you've missed it, and senior assistant, Scotty Camporale, after 9 years and being in temporary control too, of course, after the tragic circumstances that unfolded around Phil Walsh. Yep. So club thanks those two gentlemen for their services. Mm-hmm.
That's three gone now.
Yep, with the head coach.
Is it enough?
Well, Andrew Fagan's going to be on the show. He'll be coming up very, very soon, the CEO of the Adelaide Crows. That is a great question.
Is it enough though, Lou?
Crows fans, disenfranchised not more than 2 months ago.
Yep.
133353. Give us a call. Burton and Camporale gone now with Pike.
Yep.
Is that enough?
Mm.
Is that going to sort of
satisfy
where you're at?
Call your Jets, get you back on
or
board
do you
next
think
year.
There needs to be more change.
More changes.
Don't forget, throw into that, half a dozen players are probably gone on top of a McGovern, a Lever, a Cameron, and a potentially.
Yep. Six to eight players.
Josh Franco.
Walked. Yeah, that's right. He did walk.
So it hadn't been a happy place for a long time.
For a couple of years, no.
And I think the big one dealing with it. And obviously,
what's the big one for you out of this review?
Well, the big one is obviously that what they needed, it's the relationships. Need for greater and more effective emphasis on maintaining and in some cases improving personal relationships.
Mm.
They got that wrong. They've not been able to work that. Mm. And that clearly was fractured at the camp, Jar. And clearly the omission of not so much an omission, but the creation of a new job called Head of Leadership and Culture.
Well, that just
really has to be their way of admitting that for the past 18 months, the denial game they've played of the cultural issue.
Correct.
And just going nuts. So at anybody that brought it up in the press.
Didn't they?
That it, no, no.
They shut it down, didn't they? They jumped on you.
That has to be the admission, that side of it. Is completely been pear-shaped.
And the football department has failed.
Yeah,
has failed
absolutely.
This group for
and
the last
you,
2 years.
You get a fail for the last 2 years, and it is 2 years wasted sitting what was supposedly inside the premiership window.
And there's players damaged for life from it.
Well, yeah.
Is that fair, Lou?
It's a big call, but you'd have to ask those guys involved. Certainly been unhappy for 18 months.
Mm.
Certainly been unhappy with the attempts to fix it.
Mm.
They didn't get any of it right, Jar.
No, they didn't.
So not only did they get the camp wrong, they didn't get any of the processes and the procedures they tried to put in the meantime right either, because it's still there. So now you would hope that it's the clean slate.
Mm-hmm.
But the Crows fans, I want to know this, because as I said to you at the time, hadn't felt such angst against this football club in my time
I've never felt it since the 30 years.
133353, is it enough?
Mm. So is Chapman, Roo and Fagan are all safe.
They're all good. We'll ask
and
Fagan's
we'll
that
ask, yeah, we'll ask, okay.
But, you've lost your senior assistant, Scott Camporale, and your head of football, Brett Burton, along with the senior coach, Don Pike.
Yep.
Is it enough, Crows fans? 133353. Massive show. Get on board. Plenty to get through. Plus trade week. There's a little bit happening. Righto, Jars. Big news at Adelaide today. The external review has been wrapped up.
There's
some big names exiting the Adelaide Football Club. And that is the head of football, Brett Burton, and the senior assistant, Scott Camporale, to join us now is the boss of the joint down there, the CEO of the Crows, Andrew Fagan. Fakes, welcome to the Rush Hour.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Fakes. We're good. Some big names or big scalps, depends on how you want to look at it. The review's been done and dusted. Clearly, the recommendations came back that you've got a bit of a cultural issue, and it's been probably, I'm guessing here to a degree, but these two gentlemen have probably been at the forefront of things that haven't gone well, so therefore they're not there anymore.
Yeah, nothing's ever, overly straightforward. And look, the review was a really thorough process, and it certainly identified things that, were actually pretty consistent with our own internal findings. And that was just that it's less about the mechanics and more about those relationship dynamics that just weren't at the level that we needed. And some of those are historical that go back a couple of years, and then probably within the pressure of just an AFL environment and probably even the Adelaide environment, some little things became big things pretty quickly as well, over the last couple of years. And but we just got to a point where, we felt as though in order to be able to move through this, we needed to make, some pretty significant change. And particularly once Don Pike had made his decision to step away, we thought it was important that a new coach had the ability to be able to start with a pretty fresh slate. And, you know, there's that resulted in, you know, the two changes that we've made today with Scott and Brett departing, who were both good people, have contributed an enormous amount to this football club over a number of years in different ways. And they weren't called out specifically by this review, but what was called out is the need for change.
Yep.
And we needed to give a new coach the ability to very much look forward with a new group around him. And so ultimately we made the decisions we have.
Fakes, the perception of the fan base, the supporter base, who, as I said, I think one other time when we chatted, it's the most palpable I've seen their angst re your football club in my time here in South Australia. Do you think they'll be appeased with the decision making, and do you think they'll see it that the last 18 months have been the denying game, that there wasn't a cultural issue, and everybody took exception to every time anything got brought up in the media, that you guys have finally worked it out, that there has been an issue, it's got there, and will they be accepting now that you've come out and said, oh, hang on a minute, we've got an issue because we've just put in a head of leadership and culture?
Well, I think we've acknowledged that we've had issues, and so we've clearly underperformed on field, and we've, off field, we obviously had a camp that we've said was amiss, and we've acknowledged that some things weren't done well there, and then ultimately we haven't been able to probably escape some of that, become quite a distraction sort of outside the club, and still remains, remaining a bit of an issue inside the club, although, less so more recently, but ultimately... we still couldn't get that environment humming to the level that it needs to be, and I think you guys know it only needs to be a little bit off to have you finish mid-table and underperform, and that's what's happened. But with regards to the creation of the new position, it's certainly becoming a bit more commonplace across the industry.
Yep.
To have a full-time person who just focuses on leadership and the environment, and look, that so we called it leadership and culture. It could have been called a range of things, but it's a full-time resource that is just there to work across the entirety of our AFL playing list, as well as our AFLW list as well, acknowledging that we want to give players the resources necessary to fast-track their development as leaders, as positive influencers, to help them also deal just with the challenges they get as a modern-day professional athlete, which are pretty significant. So look, we're excited about that position. Now I've just got to fill it with someone who we think is going to be going to be great for the program.
Fakes, do you think history will judge you guys who have been in charge at this point in time, especially the last 2 years after 2017, that you shot yourselves in the foot?
Look, I think ultimately history will judge us over a period of time, mate. So you're right in that regard. And we've had, certainly my time here, we had a few really good years, successive finals for 3 years and a grand final. Then we've had two really challenging years where we certainly haven't got things right. And we've underperformed, and we've some mistakes were made. I mean, ultimately, a series of decisions then get made to try and fix them, and some of those have been effective. And if we had, for example, a whole lot of injuries in 2018 that also challenged us, and we made some changes at the end of that season. And in 2019, we had amongst the lowest injury toll in the competition, but we haven't been able to get the broader environment just singing at the level that it needs to. But we're really confident that these changes and the ability for a new coach to step in now with some change around him, and also just a line in the sand moment, I guess. And having spoken to the playing group, the six or seven players this morning, they're united in wanting to drive success. So they're passionate about the future. That came through loud and clear with their messages. So let's see what the next several years can deliver for us, and ultimately we'll all get judged in over what we deliver over a long period of time, because we're here as custodians for a period, not the club's not about us, it's just about what we can deliver over the time that we're here.
Fakes, from the review, will there be more personal changes coming in the next week or so?
No, I don't expect so. So look, obviously we've got some pretty significant change here with looking to appoint a new head of football. Obviously we've got our new senior coach to be appointed pretty soon, and then look, whether he looks to have a senior assistant coach next to him or not, that we'll wait and see. That will that structure will depend on that final appointment, and what sort of the role looks like, what the roles look like around him. But I don't, and obviously we're looking for a new appointment in terms of the head of leadership, but I don't expect there to be any other changes of a material nature.
Fakes, back to those players you spoke to. Could they be happy because the roadblocks are out of the way?
No. Look, they've been frustrated. Look, they, you know, the players themselves, they said, look, we've got to own. We are a part of the environment.
Mm.
So, you know, there's not shirking of responsibility here. You know, the review wasn't interviewing players about coaches. The review was, you know, talking to everyone involved in the football department to identify the things that we needed to change, to improve. And you've got to say, that didn't target Scott Camprelli and Brett Burton. It actually just spoke to the broader environment. Then it's about how you make that change. And sometimes, obviously, you know, it's about program change. Sometimes it's about people change. But, you know, the players I spoke to all, to a T, said, right, you know, they're tough calls that the club's made, and we've got to embrace those. Or now embrace this, you know, where we are to you know, deliver from a playing perspective, the leadership and the standards required to, you know, deliver on-field success that our fans want and that the playing group wants. So now they're not shirking away from you know, where they stand. They're just driven to achieve success, and they're competitive beasts. But they are pretty excited about the future.
Fakes, one more before we get on to where the coach is at, because it's obviously getting to a crucial time now and you've got some key signings you need to get done. Going forward with that review, was there any other recommendations, or were they a recommendation, or like you just said, was it just putting the dots together and seeing the common theme that those two roles were the ones that seemed to have the most
and the Crows footy
red
department.
Flags, yeah, and the footy department itself. So
yeah, no. So look, the review, I know it's sort of can be a bit tricky to understand, but the review was about identifying themes. You're right. So it wasn't about making recommendations. Ultimately, it was being really clear about information gathering and identifying the themes in a really confidential basis. Those themes are pretty consistent with what our internal findings were, which was good in one respect. Was okay. There's not sort of a lot new. Probably we spoke to the breadth and the depth of those issues by having, you know, just the extensive nature of the review that took place. What it identified was then we needed to, you know, what change was required to create greatest influence, positive influence on the program. And obviously, particularly with a senior coach already gone, we've gone to two pretty senior positions who have significant influence on the program, or who can with some change of appointments. And said it's harsh on those two individuals. And Brett, you know, and Scott are both quality people. They've invested an enormous amount into this football club. Scott, during our darkest days after Phil Walsh died, and as a coach over the last 9 years, and I expect him to, if he, you know, decides to, he'll go on and, you know, continue to have a really, you know, positive career in the AFL. And Brett, you know, came as our head of high performance, and I think in his first year we had our lowest injury count, and in 17 as a head of football we went to our first grand final in 20 years. But we just needed to make some change, and sort of we've gone to some tough calls to probably two of the more influential positions to enable some fresh voices to come in to the club together with a new senior coach, and we just think that's going to create the fastest way possible the fastest path to achieve what we want to achieve, and so that's, you know, we're pretty confident that things will turn really, really quickly. And again, having spoken to players and staff today, I think that's shared by the majority of people.
Has there been a lesson learnt with the Burton appointment? And this is not to have a crack at Berg, because he's a fantastic fella, but the potential that he may have not have been overly qualified for the position, or he was thrust into a spot that he probably wasn't experienced enough to do?
Look, I think it's a really tough assessment. Look, it's a tough position. It's a tough position. And look, when you look across the industry, the background of the people in those roles, they're either from high performance, they're from list management, they're from coaching, or they're from outside. They're, you know, they're administrators. There's no, the only probably, really significant positive indicator to someone's, you know, appropriateness for a head of football role is them probably having been a head of football successfully at another club.
Yep.
So it's, yeah, ultimately, you know, Brett was appropriately credentialed for the role. And as I said, he was head of football when we made a grand final. And ultimately, there were some mistakes made, but he's done plenty of things really, really well. But then we've got an environment that's just not where it needs to be. And said we needed to make some decisions on how we could, you know, most significantly influence change under the direction of a new senior coach. And they've been some pretty tough calls that we've made, but we've, you know, said we make them and we stand by them. And they're tough on those individuals, but I think that we've now got the ability to draw a line in the sand and you know, for players, coaches and everyone else to look forward and not in the rearview mirror.
So the reconnect with the fans, like I said, they were a little bit, they were more than a little bit, they were extremely unhappy at the end of the year.
Yeah.
The feedback so far, Fags, I know it's only new, but I know you will be in touch, you keep in touch, you watch what happens on social media. What's been the immediate sort of feedback you've gotten with the two decisions that have been made?
Mate, to tell you the truth, I've been in either meetings or interviews all day, so I haven't had the chance to look at that. I'll obviously, through the course of the evening, try and catch up on, you know, you're right, I do sort of look and take notice of what our fans are saying. And so, look, I'll have the opportunity to do that later. But you know, I hope that they see that, you know, this process has been thorough. It's, you know, we've made some strong decisions. Not everyone will agree with, you know, the decisions that we've made, but they've been made very much with the interests of the club at heart, and the ability to you know, rapidly, you know, create an environment that is going to give the players all that they need to be successful. And you know, we've obviously got some appointments to make in the next couple of weeks, starting with the senior coach.
And will he be a hard-assed type coach or a relationship-based type coach, Fags, you reckon, the next coach? He's going to be...
Well, look, it's a good question. I think increasingly across the league, you know, the ability for coaches to be able to connect really deeply with their playing group is important, and it's certainly one of the core competencies that you know, we're looking for. But look, they've still got to lead, and they've got to lead strongly and make tough calls. So no, it's like most things in life, you've got to be balanced, and we're expecting to appoint someone who can do both.
Okay.
And you know, who can genuinely do both, and said it's the people we're speaking with have that capability, and said I'm pretty excited about that. We've just got to make a final call, which we're not too far away from.
And Fags, the statement says as much to you: need for greater and more effective emphasis on maintaining and, in some cases, improving those personal relationships. Is it getting to? And this has just popped into my head, Fags. Are we getting more like the EPL where you're more a manager than a coach? You obviously got your coaching staff and your people around you who know your game plan and everything else, but at the end of the day, none of that's any good unless you connect with the player. So as a coach, that's got to be now the number one priority, the connection.
Yeah, I certainly think things have changed from 20 years ago, from 10 years ago,
five years ago.
Yeah, correct. And it's, you know, that's, we all know that, you know, if you've got kids and you've got, you know, other relationships with, you know, people, you see how people need to be led these days, and it has changed a lot, and particularly in the pressurised environment of AFL. And Louis, to your point, you know, I think it is increasingly important for senior coaches to be able to, you know, to create an environment where they can lead really effectively. And often that, you know, people are best led when they know that they've got, you know, some genuine care and depth of relationship there. That's just a fact, and probably it's like in your own personal relationship, it's no different. And but it's also a brutal industry where 22 get picked every week and 22 don't. You've got serious list management decisions you've got to make, and you've got 7 days in between games to, you know, create improvement. So it's a tough job being a senior coach and leading a fleet program, and as it is being an assistant coach, as it is being a head of football, and as it is in any other role within footy. But you know, we're absolutely committed to delivering for the club and delivering for our fans, and said I certainly hope that they can see that said we've gone through this process really comprehensively. We've made some significant changes. We're about to make some, you know, I think really good appointments, and you know, we'll finalise our list, rejuvenation, and we're pretty excited about the future.
Fags, can I offer you the one theme that I've deduced out of this whole thing is that the playing group are out of excuses.
Look, mate, I've got to tell you, having spoken to 6 or 7 players this morning, you know, just following, you know, this announcement, let them know, they're owning yeah, in the future. You know, they very much made it clear to me that said, look, the club's been, you know, strong in making some decisions, and it's now, you know, it's on them to.
But Fags, the impediments seem to be gone. There's no more of this sooking and carrying on. It's like get in, whack in, have a crack, and then we'll deal with it, and let's go forward.
Yeah, no, they're driven to achieve success, mate. Let me put it that way. And said they, no one's more disappointed than they are about, you know, not sort of achieving to the levels that, you know, we thought was possible over the last couple of years. And they want to get back there as quickly as possible. And said they know that what that requires. They know that we've made some changes here, and obviously Pikey stepping away was another change. And there's going to be some new leadership in there. And as I said, mate, you've got new leadership who he doesn't have his 22 yet.
No.
So there'll be a fight for spots and with a lot of energy with some young blokes coming in. So there's plenty to be excited about, and you know, I look forward to them all cracking in when they get back from their break in the next few weeks.
And the last question, who is he that we're talking about?
It's a good question, isn't it? I'd love to be able to tell you. I'd like to do one of those interviews where I just answer that and just go, actually, it's this bloke.
Yeah, right? I'd like to play a Who Am I and see if we can't find out who he is, but we've run out of time.
We're getting close, guys. Yep. I said it's really important decision, and we've taken the time necessary to speak to a lot of people. It's not just about interviews, a lot of backgrounding, putting people in a lot of scenarios to test them to make sure we're going to make a good decision. So we're really not too far away, and I expect a decision next week.
So Roo goes on, Chappie goes on, you're going on, everything's done. We've now seen the last of the changes, except for maybe a little bit of minor tweaking inside the footy department.
Yeah, that's the story.
Yep. All right, beautiful. All right, Fakes, thanks, mate. Appreciate your time. See you guys. The Adelaide Crows, Andrew Fagan on the Rush Hour. Andrew Warren Fagan, which we haven't called him for ages, Jars.
The Rush Hour with Jars and Louie. At the new time of 3 till 4 p.m, then back with a vengeance from 6 p.m.
You guilty!
The Rush Hour's quiz with no name.
We'd love to say it's life-changing. It's not, but it's still a lot of cash, and it's good to win $1,000 in your Skyrocket Jars. Mm-hmm. Armed and dangerous. Like, who's it playing today?
Benny from Lightsview. G'day, Ben. Welcome on a beautiful Friday. You're a council worker.
Yeah, mate. G'day, Jars. G'day, Louie. Beautiful day to be a council worker.
Absolutely. Outdoors. And just to quickly put the gag to bed, you're still working.
What, Benny, what?
Well, on the books, yeah.
Yep.
Doing the paperwork.
That's all right, mate. Hey, I tell you what, sometimes, you know, you got to look after yourself. Your mental health is just as important, and so is your Skyrocket.
Hey,
Benny.
Hey, what council can we say?
Don't answer that.
Plead the fifth there, Ben. We'll
Ben,
get on to it.
Mine.
You've got an Automaster's lifeline. Don't worry about him. He goes and eats finger buns with him. Don't worry about that. But he steals your smoko and your lunch. All right, 60 seconds, 10 questions, one Automaster's lifeline. Time starts at the end of the first question. I wish you all the best of luck, Benny from Lightsview. Here's Jar with the question number one.
Which former Hawthorn star was the part of the Crows review team, Ben?
Automaster's.
Who is co-driving with Jamie Wincup this weekend in Bathurst?
Scott McLaughlin.
Demon Sam Frost has been traded to which club? I'm a bit shocked.
Port.
Who did you say?
Port.
Port.
All right, righto. That'll do me.
I can't do this.
No.
Benny.
We're done, Benny.
Benny, love.
All right. We're done, Benny. There's a rule around here. Use of Automasters. Anything regarding the Chief, Jason Dunstall, is just unacceptable for us. And then obviously the next two you got wrong. Scotty McLaughlin drives his own bus. Craig Lowndes is the co-driver of Jamie Wincup. And Sam Frost, he went to Hawthorn, not Port Adelaide, and that'll do us, all right?
I'm staggered.
No one's fault, Benny. It's just one of those days.
No. It's a council worker.
Does he even get the ego blower?
Got to give him a blower.
No. Knock another prize.
Give him the other one.
Double pass to Diesel. Diesel nice. Sunsets Suburbia EP Tour playing the Gov Friday, November 22. Tickets on sale now at dieselmusic.com.au.
There you go, Benny.
Thanks, Ben.
Good thing he's still on the books.
See you, Benny.
On Triple M's Rush Hour, it's time for another Jars and Louis drive-by.
This one comes from the trade period too, Jars. We'll get a cricket score for everyone in a moment with the Redbacks taking on Victoria. JR, Justin Rood, Crows list manager, was asked about where things are at with the Bulldogs and Alex Keith. It's a good norm.
Thankfully, today we've been able to build up to it all day because this track does require a few gonads.
Sitting a couple of feet away from the CEO of the Western Bulldogs, deal for Alex Keith close?
Nah, not at all.
Why is that?
I haven't heard from them, so... That's probably why.
That's Reedy.
Isn't it funny? It's been
lovely.
It's been a flawless week in here without Murph, and then Timmy just gags one right up at the end.
You just gave me one of these.
I'd probably give you a bit more than a drive-by.
So Western Bulldogs, maybe give Justin Reed a call.
Or somebody do something.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you actually doing?
I think it's on the to-do list, but write down. You know, every morning, if you're a list manager, I reckon you're getting up.
It's on the fridge door.
And you're going, what's my to-do list today?
Things to do today.
Because they often say, do things that'll help you first and then worry about what others want from you. And I reckon that's where Alex Keith is sitting with Justin Reed of the Adelaide Crows. Yeah.
Check your fridge door.
And I think Reedy was just double-checking he's still at a job.
Oh, honestly.
Given what happened out at Crows Land this morning with a couple of going. All right, that other voice that you heard in there, of course, Bathurst is on this weekend. Scott McLaughlin in his...
The Mustang Sally
is going so fast that he's clocked the fastest lap ever on the mountain. And he mentions Plums. We had to play Gotta him. Play. This is what he said after it.
Thankfully, today we've been able to build up to it all day because this track does require a few gonads.
Yes, for boy.
That, I mean, gonads. So 1986.
Did you get him out today with this beautiful...
Just a reminder, boys, so 15 minutes, Plums in the sun, sun's out, plums out. Tell you what, testosterone
goes through the roof.
Yeah.
Especially with all the radiation that we sit around all day.
The health factor, get away from the Wi-Fi and all that sort of stuff.
You can't because your kiddies are still at home.
And the key with it all is not too long.
And you're pretty good with that too.
No, don't cook them. Don't cook them. That's the key. Well done to Ash Barty. Before we get back to the footy, she picked up the Don last night.
Well done, Ash.
Big hot field.
You tipped that too, didn't you?
Hall of Fame lifetime goes in Louise Savage, who is one of the great wheelchair athletes of this country.
Well played.
So well done there. Back to the footy. Matty Broadbent, Aidan Johnson have been delisted by Port Adelaide. Jar.
Brogsy will end up at Woodville West Torrens under Jade Sheedy.
Just couldn't quite get it back after that real long battle with that ankle.
He's a ripping lad.
Syndesmosis. Yeah. And Darcy Byrne-Jones has signed on for 3 more years after his stellar year, which I think ended up in a runner-up.
Right, absolutely.
In the BNF.
Wonderful year.
So beautifully
get him on ball
there.
Next year.
Did you end up giving the cricket out?
No, I didn't.
How are we going?
South Australia v Victoria. Victoria, 6 for 616 declared.
Say what,
so
Willis?
About 9 blokes made 100, eh?
Say what, Willis?
6 for 616.
That's hard to say.
Six declared for 616.
Kenny Calendar.
And guess what?
What?
Guess what, family?
We're
2 for 23.
Two for
23.
The Premier, Weatherald.
He can't play four-day cricket.
He's made zero.
Baby Boof out again.
Oh, dear.
Honestly.
There's a cricket score for you. Not going overly well. Don't expect another mention of that too soon. Right, a couple of deals done today. Sam Frost from the Melbourne Football Club is now a Hawk. So the Hawks get Frost, pick 42 and 61, Melbourne and Melbourne's future fourth round. The Ds get pick 50. And Hawthorn's future second rounder. He played all 22 games this year.
That's
Sam Frost.
I can't understand Melbourne's
great pace, great
logic
closing speed.
That.
Can butcher it a touch, but
he's a very good pickup.
And key defender, big with a great set of wheels. Ed Langdon of Fremantle. Yeah. Well, he's going to Melbourne, the Demons. Ds get Langdon, 26 and a future fourth round. The Dockers get 22, 79 and a future second round.
Yeah.
They've got a new CEO, Freo, Simon Garlick.
Yeah, mate of yours.
Yeah, good mate of mine.
What do you call him?
Herbie.
Yeah, okay.
The other one is Freo have been tagged, and this is Peter Bell, who's in charge at the moment, getting a bad reputation. You thought Adrian Dodoro and Essendon were always hard to deal with.
What's happened?
Freo are the new ones, being tagged very unreasonable.
Is he?
They are.
He's a wee man, isn't he?
Yes. Yes, might have a little bit of small man.
A bit of a control freak.
So that's sort of all happening there. Nothing to add for you when it comes to any of the Crows players yet?
No, not at all.
Signing off there?
No, Sam Jacobs is waiting. He's getting frustrated. He's very, very annoyed with...
You've got Eddie.
Eddie waiting.
You've got... Hey, where's the Dougal Howard deal at the moment? Is that turning a little
bit... That's got a little bit pear-shaped.
Sort of... Pear or pear?
Pear. Pear. Yeah, has actually.
Surely common sense comes back into that one from a Port perspective. Mm. And they go, hang on.
Yeah.
No. We can't be losing the likes.
Not at all.
And the other big story that sort of had a lot of momentum, and it was Arazi Fantasia sort of supposedly turning his back on the Port Adelaide Football Club.
What's come out of that?
List manager Jamie Cripps cleared it up pretty much
and
said that we didn't speak to him, we didn't offer him, we didn't pitch to him, we didn't do anything. He didn't ring us, nothing.
So more lies about Port Adelaide. And
it's the old Donald Trump fake news.
Fake news. That's come over from Melbourne.
So that's what's been
Melbourne
thrown around.
Melbourne love delivering fake news, don't they? Don't they or not?
That's
where most of it comes from. Well, it does, Lou.
There's that many journos on the ground. They've all got to have something to talk about.
And where's Josh Jenkins going?
Well, again, still waiting on whether...
No one wants to touch him.
I noticed...
Caro, no one wants him.
I noticed you throw the moniker in now that he's left town. Hey?
No, I think he's down there doing laps at Henley Oval.
Heart of a lion, you.
No, but where's he at?
Well, I don't know.
He's got no suitors.
Again, because this is the problem. Let's put it all on the table right now.
Oh, here we go.
Trade week goes too long. Way too long. It gives him too much time to think. Too much time
overanalyze.
To posture.
Yeah.
And the other one, here's the big one. And Lindsay Gilby put this out on Twitter, former Western Bulldogs star.
Yeah.
Trade week's not about getting a massive length contract and massive coin, which it seems to have turned into. Trade Week was supposed to be about the fringe players
getting
a chance to get somewhere else to get better.
Well said.
To get the best out of themselves and get opportunity.
Yep.
That's gone.
No.
Where are those deals?
There's none.
Too many big names holding there for massive.
That's it.
Yeah, it's a hostage situation.
I agree. Yeah, for 13 days. You're a hostage for 13 days.
That is what they're doing. Get the deals done, move around, and be done.
And these so-called nuff-nuff football experts talk rubbish for 9 hours
a day
on a radio station.
Too much commentary around something that doesn't deserve
that
much commentary.
And what are we doing? Short and sharp.
Shiny.
To the point.
Righto, Jazz, the mountain is calling. Bathurst is on again. P2 is happening, and Mr. Motorsport's going to join us right now. The one and only Mark Scaife. Five-time, six-time, you name it.
He's got
you covered. He's got me covered. Six-time king in the mountain. Five-time driver's champion. Mark Scaife, welcome to the Rush Hour.
G'day, guys.
Righto, let's talk about Bathurst. How's she behaving up there? The Mustang, can it be caught? Scaife, it's going to be a fascinating weekend.
Yeah, well, it's been on for young and old. We've had some massive crashes, a couple of big crashes yesterday. Cars were repaired and back out on track today. We had the fastest lap ever by McLaughlin yesterday, and then he was able to beat that in the practice session that we had this afternoon. So one of the things that we've got to get our brain around is that because there were a lot of red flags, there were two crashes in that session when McLaughlin did a 3-4, which is about 3 or 4 tenths faster than the historic lap record for supercars. There was a couple of crashes in that session, which Jamie Wincup hit the fence and Richie Stanaway hit the fence, and they were both red flagged. So a lot of the cars didn't actually get a lap. So we've got no form guide going into qualifying because really McLaughlin's the only one to have put a proper lap together.
Well, that's going to sort of make it hard. How good the fact that there's a Bathurst channel on Foxtel too? This is massive because everybody, you get to get what you want and you can sit down and really catch up on everything that's going on.
Oh, look, especially, I mean, Bathurst for us, it's our grand final, guys. You know, it's a Stop the Nation Day in Australian sports. So we love it. You should see the crowd reaction up here. We've got about 7,000 campsites. The joint will have 200,000 people over the course of the weekend. It's just a fantastic weekend.
Scaife, have you seen the social media post of and it's... Some guy caught a guy, he had his trolley trying to get around a dirt track and he rolled it.
I haven't seen it.
And then he rolled himself, Scaife, and the caption was one slab per day.
Yeah,
per man.
Well, exactly. Well, that's the restriction now. In fact, the one slab per day per person.
Has anybody got any sort of those metal finders that are sweeping it for things that might have been buried last year?
Exactly.
Hey, mate, what's Buddy Lounsey doing? If he's having a drive, won't you in your car?
Yeah, well,
come on, Lounsey.
I'm too old, but I reckon one of the things for Lounsey, he's been like a caged tiger for most of the year, it's actually good for him to get himself back in the car. And they're shaping up as a really good combination. He and Wincup, they're probably favourites in reality, other than the little accident that Wincup just had. So they're busily repairing that car right now, trying to get it out to make sure that he's going to take part in qualifying.
Scaife, the mountain bites you if you don't respect it. And I know this because I've been across the top in a little Toyota Corolla late at night one night with way too many people in it, put it that way, Scaife. And coming through the cutting, I thought I was gone. But anyway, that's a different story.
Did you have gloves on?
I didn't. I was in the back. I wasn't driving. I didn't have my driving gloves. But Scaife, every year we get there and we see it. It's one of those tracks that you just can't blink for a second because everywhere can get you.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, Brock's biggest thing was always saying that great racetracks have got consequences, and this is so unforgiving, this joint. I mean, you make the slightest mistake and you fire in the fence at 200K, and it's one of the great things. That's why we love it so much. It's a public road. Mm. B, it's the biggest event of the year. And C, as a character-filled racetrack, it's everything race drivers want. In the world, there's Nürburgring and there's Le Mans and there's Indianapolis and there's other big races. But in this part of the world, it is the best racetrack.
Now, what's your best memory of one of your wins?
Probably winning with Jimmy Richards in 2002 because he was able to call the crowd a pack of wonderful people rather than what he called the 10 years prior. So he was able to make good on that, which is a goodie.
Hard to top, isn't it? That's
hard to top, exactly. But we won the race and the championship in the one day, which that's sort of unheard of. It was great.
Scaife, we have a volatile relationship with Davey Reynolds.
Yeah.
Has he got any chance or is he just making up the numbers the next 2 or 3 days?
Oh, no, well, he's definitely right now, after that repair. Yeah. So his co-driver crashed heavily yesterday. Mm. They worked all night. They've got that car back. And Davey Reynolds shapes up as the fastest Holden.
Yeah, he does.
So let's just see what unfolds. We were predicting that he was going to do a 3-6. So he was going to be the car that was closest to McLaughlin for qualifying. Right. Yeah.
Scafie, let's talk Holdens and let's talk the Mustang. Have we been able to get the balance right since the introduction, or is there still more tweaks required depending on how this season pans out?
No, I reckon the balance that we made a change to the Commodore before New Zealand, the last round,
yep,
and the cars were very, very close. I think the parity is the best that we've had all year, and it's going to be a red hot race, guys. Nice. This is the fastest year ever at this place.
And I've just checked Wikipedia, like Scafie, because I think Jar's called you Scacy, and I'm just seeing whether you're living in Majorca. And have you got any links to Spain at all?
I've got a bit of a breathing problem sometimes. I'm not that bad.
Are you okay? Will you get through the weekend?
You grab me a paper bag and I'll do a bit of hyperventilating.
If I don't see a shot of you coming out in a wheelchair with a blanket on and your slippers out onto the deck in pit row, just putting your hands in the air where you're in stride.
You know, you got the wrong bloke.
Good calling, mate.
Great to have it, mate. All right, cannot wait for all the action. Bathurst Channel on Foxtel has every session of the Super Cheap Auto Bathurst 1000 live and ad break free during the race on Fox Sports. 506 is the channel. Foxtel Go from tomorrow. Scafie, thank you so much for your time.
See you, boys.
Oh, what a chat.
He's a champion, man.
He had to run. I love the Scacy stuff. Did he jump in?
It slipped out, Lee.
That's okay. That's you.
It slipped out. I apologise.
It's the fungus.
He's a superstar. He's a superstar, but can't wait to watch it on Sunday.
No.
The big day.
Cannot wait at all. Just recapping, Matty Broadbent and Aidan Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Port have delisted those two.
Mm-hmm.
Darcy Byrne-Jones has got himself a 3-year deal.
Well deserved.
And the other big news of the day, if you haven't been across it for some reason, Adelaide external review complete. And we'll discuss more at 6 as well. Jason Dunstall's made some comments. He sat on that review panel. Brett Burton, the head of football, and Scott Camporale, the senior assistant coach, are now gone and have been sacked from the footy club to join Don Pike as part of the collateral for the last 2 years.
What were your thoughts on when we spoke to Fags, said that Rue, Fags and Chapman all staying, all safe?
Not surprised at all because the wording and I suppose the dialogue quickly shifted after the initial announcement of an external review that it was going to be very clearly on the footy department.
Yeah.
So therefore that doesn't come into
spotlight issue
those three gentlemen. So
I
don't know whether they're done and dusted. I'll be intrigued to read through Twitter, watch as it come back, just the feel amongst the supporter base, whether they feel heard, vindicated, because they were hurt at the end of the season.
Oh, they were devastated.
Extremely hurt and wanting action.
Mm.
And hopefully by the time trade is done and the players have moved on, that it is a clean slate. The new coach is there.
Comes in, yep.
He's got something to work with.
And he needs to bring some of his people in too.
Yeah, and the football club can get back where everybody wants it. We need both teams in this town healthy and up and viable.
And start to build a relationship again.
Absolutely, and that's the key finding of it all, relationships.
We got a good relationship, Lou.
Absolutely. I tell you what.
All right, done.
We're a bit like Scacy and Cash.
Triple M's Rush Hour with Jars and Louie is brought to you by Dan Murphy's. That's their lowest liquor price guarantee.